least 71 people are dead and hundreds more wounded following an Israeli airstrike
around a governing
about
agenda.
What Donald Trump
obviously
would do
with a second
Trump
term,
whether it would terminate our Constitution.
That brings us
should
back
never
to
again have the chance to stand behind a microphone. To stand behind the seal of the President of the United States of America.
Welcome back to another episode of What's Going On in the World. It is July 13th, 2024, and I am your host, Tommy J. Houseman. Today, we're going to talk about what's going on in the world, what's going on in Evansville, what's going on TikTok, what's going on Facebook. And we're probably going to spend a good amount of time highlighting Project 2025. This has been an interesting ride that I've been on trying to research this and talk about it. But specifically, I'm going to talk about today about how it's already started. And we'll get to that a little bit later. First, I'd like to talk about some of the things that I've been going through while researching this. I've spent a lot of time putting big pieces of this together to explain what it is, what's going on, and how it is already kind of coming into play. And I have seen this pushback already. There's one article out there by Alex DeMoss that kind of says that it's partly false and partly true, but it doesn't really go into the nuances of the words of like, so if we were to put this into place, then this would happen. He kind of didn't examine the text like that. He just said, okay, these words are not in this text. So I'm going to refute that just a little bit and push back on that. And so Facebook started putting things on like the little fact checker saying that things about 2025 are mostly false or are not all true, depending on what you post. And that is the only article that they're using to back up those claims, which is kind of fueled this pushback by people. That's someone today posted on one of my posts, Project 2025 isn't real. I mean, not that it's not going to do what it says, or not that it doesn't matter, or not that it isn't going to be some sort of document that exists, that is just plain not real. And I mean, it just 10 seconds of your time, maybe 30 seconds of your time can tell you that it is real, that it exists. Kevin Roberts, the president of the Heritage Foundation, has been on TV all over the place talking about Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation and how they are very proud of this document. So obviously it's real, and that would just take a couple seconds. But there's the kind of pushback that's out there that exists is convincing people that it doesn't exist at all. So which brought me to a quote from The Usual Suspects: "The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he didn't exist." And I think that's where we find ourselves today. Also, I didn't get that kind of pushback that it completely didn't exist, but also that it wasn't that big of a deal. And I don't think that people really understand that it is really a big deal. So I have taken the time to make the connections of how many people that are involved in the Heritage Foundation and that are actually involved with Project 25 that are directly connected to Trump. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that today, plus doing all the usual things we do. So thank you for joining us, and here we go. So what's going on in the world of Evansville, Indiana? What's going on in Evansville? In Evansville, Indiana, a police shooting resulted in the death of a man named Kyle Puckett on July 2nd, 2024. The incident began when Puckett, who was reportedly distressed and armed, made a 911 call from his residence on Lewis Avenue, threatening to take action against a supposed criminal operation. When officers arrived, they encountered Puckett sitting in his truck. Upon exiting the vehicle, Puckett allegedly pointed a handgun at the officers, prompting them to retreat and take defensive positions. The standoff escalated, and five officers eventually opened fire after Puckett refused to comply with commands and continued to pose a threat. The officers involved in the shooting have been placed on administrative leave while an investigation is conducted. The Evansville Police Department has released body camera footage and audio recordings of the 911 call to provide transparency about the incident. In more positive news in Evansville, Indiana, the USSSA Great Lakes Nationals Fast Pitch Softball Tournament is going to take place. This event is a significant draw, bringing teams from across the region to compete in a high-level fast-pitch softball competition. It offers a fantastic opportunity for sports enthusiasts to enjoy some competitive softball action. Celebrate Summer Community Resource Fair, taking place on July 19th at Howe Park. This fair will feature games, giveaways, and a food truck, making it a great family-friendly event. It's organized by Familia Dental and aims to provide fun and resources to the community. Downtown Evansville Night Market, scheduled for July 14th, this market is presented by Deaconess and features local vendors, live music, and food trucks. It's a vibrant event and that supports local businesses and offers a fun evening out. Various music and arts events. The city hosts numerous music and arts events throughout the month. For instance, the Botanical College class on July 20th, and live performances by local bands and various venues offer a rich cultural experience for residents and visitors. I'm going to, take note of who made that note. Let's see, health and wellness events. Events like a metabolic health education session on July 13th at the Courtyard by Marriott Evansville East focus on community health and wellness, providing valuable information and activities related to health improvement. The Children's Museum of Evansville, SEMO, is hosting a Kids Comic Con on July 20th, providing fun and engaging experiences for younger residents. At this point of the show, I'd like to move on to what's going on Facebook. Now, my Facebook feed is going to be more Evansville-centric, so I like to go and check out what's going on Evansville Watch. So here's what's going on in Evansville. 11 hours ago on Evansville Watch, posted on Facebook, Bolo, reckless driver, eastbound Lloyd from Weinbach. Officer states a white vehicle was driving with no lights on at a high rate of speed. Another officer has the vehicle stopped at this time. So what do our residents have to say about this situation? I like to say what's going on in the comments. I work off the Lloyd on night shift. They are up and down all night long. It's like the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Is that why there was a cop with its light on in the middle of the road near Supply Road? I was confused why he blocked the whole lane off. Try living off the Lloyd. It's the Indy 500 and as loud as they can make it. Car wash during the day, racetrack at night, not to mention semis braking. All right, so that's kind of light. Let's see. 12 hours ago, disorderly conduct, 800 block of Taylor Avenue. Caller states there are about 7 females across the street trying to fight. Oh, there's only one comment? What is this comment? Let's see here. Trying is the only comment. So I would suspect that this particular post would get more comments, but 800 block of Taylor Avenue, caller states there are about 7 females across the street trying to fight. EPD en route. So, not too exciting what's going on Facebook and what's going on in the comics. Can't always be exciting, can it? So let's move on to what's going on in the world. In Iran, Masoud Pezeshkian has been elected as the new president after the previous president died in a helicopter crash in May. Pezeshkian, a heart surgeon, has expressed intentions to extend an olive branch to the West and ease enforcement of Iran's strict headscarf law. However, many Iranians and Iranian Canadians remain skeptical about his ability to implement these changes due to the supreme leader's control over the country. Canada's men's national soccer team achieved a historic victory, advancing the Copa America semifinals, which has sparked nationwide celebrations. The success is seen as a significant achievement for the team, exceeding expectations on the global stage. In British Columbia, wildfires continue to threaten ancient forests, particularly east of Prince George. Efforts are ongoing to control the fires and protect these valuable ecosystems. Charges against actor Alec Baldwin related to the fatal shooting on the set of the film Rust have been dismissed by a judge. This development has brought significant attention back to the incident and the broader implications of safety on film sets. Now back to the conflicts in Israel. Hezbollah launched over 200 rockets and 20 drones towards northern Israel, targeting areas in Galilee and the Golan Heights. This large-scale attack was reportedly in retaliation for the killing of senior Hezbollah commander by Israeli forces in southern Lebanon. In response, the Israeli Air Force conducted airstrikes on key Hezbollah infrastructure in southern Lebanon, targeting military structures and terrorist infrastructure locations. Hostage negotiations. MK Gadi Eisenkot mentioned that Israel is closer than ever to reaching a hostage deal with Hamas, although Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is seen as a potential obstacle. The negotiations are crucial as the conflict with Hamas in Gaza continues. Airstrikes in Gaza have resulted in significant casualties, including a deadly attack on Palestinians awaiting aid. As of July 2024, the ongoing conflict in Gaza has resulted in a devastating death toll. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, over 39,000 people have been killed since the conflict began. This includes significant civilian casualties, with a large portion of the deaths being women and minors. Additionally, the United States has reported that a considerable number of deceased are children, with estimates suggesting that over 7,797 minors have died due to the conflict. Vice President Kamala Harris has been actively engaging with various communities across the United States over the past week. She continues her Summer of Engagement tour, aiming to build coalitions and connect with key constituencies, including Black Americans, women, young leaders, and community leaders. Harris has made a notable appearance at the 30th Essence Festival of Culture in New Orleans on July 6th, where she delivered a moderated conversation emphasizing the administration's efforts and urging the protection of fundamental freedoms. She also spoke at the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority's 71st Bolle in Dallas on July 10th, highlighting her ongoing outreach into historically Black sororities and fraternities. Additionally, Harris's travel schedule includes upcoming events in Las Vegas and Indianapolis, where she will continue to address issues such as economic opportunity, reproductive rights, and environmental justice. The extensive outreach is part of her effort to mobilize communities and ensure that no demographic is overlooked in the political landscape. All right, now we're going to get back to the fun bits. The recent Supreme Court rulings and Project 2025, threats to safety and democracy. Recent rulings by the U.S. Supreme Court signal significant shifts in the legal landscape, with implications that extend far beyond individual cases. These rulings can be seen as first steps of Project 2025, a strategic initiative with the potential to reshape American democracy and jeopardize the safety and rights of the citizens. So here, I'm going to break down a couple points about what's going on with Project 2025 and how some of those things are already being initiated into our culture. We can talk about voting rights. So the Supreme Court has recently issued rulings that weaken the Voting Rights Act, making it more challenging to combat voter suppression. By allowing states to implement restrictive voting laws, the court has paved way to reduce voter participation and greater difficulty for marginalized groups to exercise their right to vote. The recent Supreme Court case on voting rights that garnered significant attention is Merrill versus Milligan. The case focused on allegations of racial gerrymandering in Alabama's congressional redistricting plan following the 2020 census. Plaintiffs argued that the redistricting plan diluted the voting power of Black voters, violating Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which prohibits voting practices or procedures that discriminate on the basis of race or color. So here are some key aspects, the background. Alabama's legislature passed a redistricting plan that maintained only one majority Black congressional district out of seven, despite Black residents making up about 27% of the state's population. Plaintiffs claimed that this plan unfairly diluted Black voting power and sought to have an additional majority black district created. In a surprising decision, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the plaintiffs, upholding a lower court's ruling that Alabama's redistricting plan likely violated the VRA. The court's decision required Alabama to redraw its congressional map to include an additional majority black district. Implications. This ruling reinforced the projections that the VRA against racial gerrymandering and ensured that minority voters have a fair opportunity to elect representatives of their choice. It also set a precedent for other states facing similar challenges, potentially leading to more equitable redistricting practices nationwide. So here's the connection to Project 2025. The Supreme Court's decision in Merrill versus Milligan can be seen as a counterbalance to other recent rulings that have weakened voting rights protections. While some recent decisions have made it easier for states to impose restrictive voting laws, the ruling in Merrill versus Milligan underscores the importance of the VRA in protecting minority voters from discriminatory practices. However, the broader goals of Project 2025, which include reshaping the judiciary and reducing federal oversight, could still pose long-term threats to voting rights if similar cases are decided differently in the future. Affirmative action is the next point. But from here, what is happening is that we're breaking with precedents. We're breaking with common sense. So we have a Supreme Court the way we have it right now because of Trump, right? And this Supreme Court has recently ruled that Trump basically can do whatever he wants. You can go back and look at that ruling if you like. That happened last week. So we're setting up to go ahead and implement some of the things that are in Project 2025. And I will go over this in more detail next week. So when we break with precedent, we break with the standard of things that are going on in our world, and we start to do things how we want instead of how they should be done, then we set a path to continue that behavior in the future. And I think that is the biggest thing to pay attention to in what's going on now and what will be and what will happen if Trump is reelected. So affirmative action, the court's decision to curtail affirmative action in college admissions has significant implications for diversity and inclusion in higher education. By ruling against race-conscious admissions policies, the court has limited the tools available to institutions seeking to create diverse and inclusive environments, potentially exacerbating social and economic inequalities. The recent Supreme Court case that significantly impacted affirmative action in college admissions was Students for Fair Admissions versus President and Fellows of Harvard College. This case addressed the use of race-conscious admissions policies at Harvard University and the University of North Carolina. So, basically, this has done away with DEI, affirmative action, giving the opportunity for minorities that wouldn't be able to college a better chance of going to college. And we can have a whole conversation about how these disparities exist. Some people might tell you that there's no such thing as racism in our country, and that's just not true. And that's just a whole other thing that we'd have to get into for me to explain to you how people of color have a harder time getting the things that they need in our society. And this is just furthering that barrier that gets in the way to them getting an education. So the Supreme Court ruling, in a landmark decision, the Supreme Court ruled against Harvard and UNC, effectively ending the practice of considering race as a factor in college admissions. The court held that the use of race in admissions process at these institutions violated the Equal Protection Clause, emphasizing that admissions decisions should be based on individual merit rather than racial categories. See, that's the problem. They don't do that. They've never done that. They've never, it's always been easier to admit a white person or a person of means than a person of color. So minorities have had a harder time convincing people that have been in charge that, yes, I should be able to go here just as much as anybody. So that is why these rules have been in place, is because even though that minorities have been qualified or more than qualified, they have not been given the chance. That's the problem. And that problem continues to be a problem today. And it hasn't gone away. And the Supreme Court is just pretending like it has gone away. And I want to just elaborate here just a little bit about why this is going on. So it seems to me that white people have a fear of being replaced. And I think that is just making it as simple as possible. White people have a fear of being replaced, especially white men. And that's why, you know, they get so upset about people crossing the border and blah, blah, blah. So, and this is just more of that. And I know it sounds just kind of like a blanket statement, but here I'm going to elaborate a little bit. So we are not replacing ourselves anymore. So birth rates are down. So with the education of women and the availability of education of women, and the availability of healthcare, women have less children because that's what makes sense to have less children. So you don't want to have children until you can take care of the child, until you have all the means that you want to do. And you have to take time out for your education to get a job. It only makes sense. You don't want a bunch of 20-year-olds having kids that don't know how to take care of the kids, right? So it just makes sense to do this anyway. But this is a natural thing that happens with the availability of education, the availability of healthcare to not just women, but men as well. Birth rates go down. Plus, there are other things happening in our biologically with men and women that birth rates are a little bit lower. But those aren't having the largest percentage of why the birth rates are going down as is decision. People are trying not to have kids as often. So we have this attack on women's healthcare and women's rights, and we have this attack on DEI. Because right now, what's happening right now is that for the first time in history, since the countries began, we have a lower number of 18-year-olds than usual. So the number of 18-year-olds we have that have been born, they're getting ready to be college age, is lower than it usually is, you know, except for when we first started, right? So, but for a long time, it's been very high. It's been growing. It's not growing anymore. It's lower. And for the first time, and this is for the first time in American history, the majority of those 18-year-olds are minorities. So we have a situation where we have fewer children being born, and of those children being born, the majority of them are minorities. So white people that think that they're superior than everybody else or want to retain their power are freaking out. So they've attacked DEI. They've attacked women's rights, and they're going to continue to do this so that they can retain the status quo. So here's the connection to Project 2025. The Supreme Court's decision in Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard aligns with the goals of Project 2025 by promoting a conservative agenda that seeks to limit government intervention in matters of social equity. By ruling against affirmative action, the court has curtailed a tool that many institutions use to foster diversity and inclusion, potentially leading to increased racial and socioeconomic disparities in higher education, and that'll just trickle down to everything else. The decision is indicative of a broader effort to reshape American society along more conservative lines, reducing the role of race in public policy and governance. While proponents argue that it promotes a merit-based system, critics contend that it undermines efforts to address historical and systemic inequalities, posing a threat to the principles of diversity and inclusion that are vital to the vibrant and equitable democracy. So there you go. Now here's back to my other point, healthcare, access to healthcare for women, abortion rights. In a landmark decision, the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, ending the constitutional right to abortion. This ruling has led to a patchwork of state laws, with many states enacting strict abortion bans. The decision not only impacts women's health and autonomy, but also raises concerns about the broader erosion of privacy rights. Because Roe versus Wade wasn't about abortion, it was about privacy, which also includes same-sex marriage, interracial marriage, and so on. The recent landmark Supreme Court case that significantly impacted abortion rights in the United States is Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health Organization. This case centered around a Mississippi law that banned most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy, directly challenging the precedents set by Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Mississippi passed the Gestational Age Act in 2018, which prohibited abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy, except in cases of medical emergencies or severe fetal abnormalities. Jackson's Women's Health Organization, the only remaining abortion clinic in Mississippi, challenged the law, arguing that it violated the constitutional right to abortion established by Roe versus Wade and reaffirmed by Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which protected the right to abortion before fetal viability around 24 weeks, which all that's right. That's precedent. That should not have been overturned. But since Trump put conservative justice in place and all of those justices said before Congress that they believed in precedent and they believed that Roe versus Wade was a set law, they went against that. Anyway, once this new law, case came before them and they reversed it. And now we are in the situation we are in now. And that's a problem. It's a problem no matter what we're talking about. We could be talking about whether or not we think grass is green or grass is blue. The Supreme Court saying that it is no longer green, it is blue, is a problem because now that they can go do that with everything. So once they start breaking precedent, precedent is no longer set in stone. It's no longer the status quo. We are moving along in a new unfettered territory here, and it's kind of concerning. So the Supreme Court ruling, a historic decision, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Mississippi, upholding the state's 15-week abortion ban. The court's majority opinion, authored by Justice Samuel Alito, explicitly overturned Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, stating that the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. This ruling returned the authority to regulate abortion to individual states, and individual states have been going crazy with some of this. I think it's 18. I'm sorry. I didn't look it up, but it's a lot of states that have really, really strict abortion bans, like no matter what. So your uncle rapes your niece, your uncle rapes your daughter. She has to have the baby. She has to have the baby. The baby's got to kill her. She can't have an abortion. In some states, that's how serious it is. I know in Texas, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but feel free to Google. I mean, you guys have Google, right? Maternal death rates and infant mortality have gone up significantly because we've not just taken away the right to an abortion. We've taken the right access to health care. It's always been more than just an abortion. It's health care. And now that health care system that was in place is gone. The decision dismantled nearly 50 years of federal abortion protections, allowing states to set their own abortion laws without being bound by the viability standard. This has led to a patchwork of abortion laws across the country, with some states enacting strict bans or severe restrictions on abortion, while others have moved to protect and expand access to abortion services. This is true. People come out and vote. They put it on the ballot, and people come out and vote. Voted every place they put it on the ballot, and people come out and vote. They've said, no, we want abortion rights to be state law. And that has happened in numerous states. The ruling has significant implications for women's health, autonomy, and privacy, as well as the broader reproductive rights. So here's the connection to 2025. The Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs versus Jackson Women Health Organization aligns with the goals of Project 2025 by significantly shifting power from the federal government to individual states. The decentralization is a key component of conservative agenda, which advocates for states' rights and limited federal oversight. States' rights. You remember that that little statement, right? From about 200 years ago. By overturning Roe versus Wade, the decision empowers states to regulate abortion as they see fit, leading to diverse and often restrictive abortion laws. This can result in significant disparities in access to reproductive health care, particularly affecting women in conservative states with strict abortion bans. The ruling reflects broader effort to reshape American society and governance in a way that prioritizes states' rights and reduces the federal role in protecting individual liberties and rights. The Dobbs decision is a major step in the conservative legal movement's long-term strategy, potentially paving the way for further challenges to establish precedents on the rights and freedoms, thereby posing substantial threat to the uniform applications of fundamental rights across the United States. So not just your right to have an abortion, but your right to privacy, your other rights inherent rights that we have as as United States citizens are in danger because precedence no longer matters. Now, the Chevron deference. This is a little bit more complicated, but we're going to get into it. The Supreme Court has taken steps to limit the Chevron deference, a legal doctrine that compels courts to defer to a federal agency's interpretation of ambiguous laws. By curtailing this deference, the court has increased judicial oversight of regulatory agencies, which could lead to a reduction in the effectiveness of environmental, health, and safety regulations. The recent Supreme Court case related to the Chevron doctrine is West Virginia versus Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. This case addressed the extent of the EPA's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. So, Congress passes a law, the Clean Air Act. The Clean Air Act says we should have clean air. They put it into place. The EPA then says what that means. So the Congress doesn't take time to do all the scientist's job to figure out, okay, parts per million of this is okay, but this is not okay. Congress doesn't do that. They say, EPA, we're going to assign you this role of regulating what needs to be done, and then you're going to enforce it. So, and that's been precedent. That's been a while since that's been going on. The Supreme Court said, nah, we're not going to do that anymore. So now, now businesses and companies and industries can do whatever they want, really. They can just do whatever they want because we're going to have to approach all of them at a case-by-case basis because of this ruling. And so that means that your family members are going to be getting cancer from whatever it is this company that moved in next to you decided to do and decided to dump into your water, into your groundwater, into your air. And then you're going to be, oh, no, my mom has cancer and I'm really upset about it. And I'm going to go to court and then you're going to try to get it overturned. But it's not going to happen because the Supreme Court doesn't care about you. The Supreme Court cares about businesses and industries being able to do whatever they want. They think capitalism should be the icon that is in the distance, that should be the role model of what we're doing, right? That should dictate the rules as money. Money should be dictating the rules according to the Supreme Court. We shouldn't be getting involved. We should just stand back and let all these things happen because people are just going to do what's right. They're not going to do what's right. They're going to do what's cheapest, and they're going to hurt people. And this has gutted our ability to protect ourselves, not just in the environment, but with everything. The case arose from the Clean Power Act, an Obama-era policy aimed at reducing carbon dioxide emissions from power plants. The plan set state-specific carbon emissions reduction targets and encouraged a shift from coal to cleaner energy sources. Several states and coal companies challenged the plan, arguing that the EPA overstepped its authority under the Clean Air Act by setting broad regulations without clear congressional authorization. And that's not true. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you believe in climate change or not, clean air is important. We have air quality alerts constantly throughout the summer, especially in hot days. Clean air is important. Where I'm from, Evansville, Indiana, asthma continues to increase. Lung problems, breathing problems, allergy problems continue to decrease because of the quality of our air. This is, even if you don't think that the world is getting hotter, even though this is the hottest summer after the hottest summer after the hottest summer after the hottest summer ever, you can't say that it's good to breathe air that is polluted. You cannot say that it's good to drink water that's polluted. You cannot say it's good to live on the ground that is polluted. That's not good, no matter what you believe. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of West Virginia and the other challengers, significantly limiting the EPA's authority to regulate carbon emissions from power plants. The court held that the EPA's attempt to implement wide-reaching regulations under the Clean Air Act was an overreach, emphasizing that such significant policy decisions require clear congressional authorization. This decision effectively curtailed the use of Chevron deference, which allows federal agencies to interpret ambiguous statutes and make regulatory decisions based on their expertise. So here's the implications. The ruling restricts the ability of federal agencies to implement broad regulations without explicit congressional approval, which can hinder efforts to address the complex and evolving issues like climate change or like just polluting your backyard. So that means that if something happens, we have to be specific. We have to have a specific law for every incident that creates a problem. So if a company is releasing two chemicals and one of those chemicals causes one kind of cancer and then another one of those chemicals causes another kind of cancer, that's two different lawsuits that you have to go through. That's two congressional laws that have to be passed, that have to go through the whole process every time something happens. Every time something happens, something different happens, it has to be addressed individually because of this. This decision also signals a shift towards more constrained view of administrative authority, requiring clear legislative mandates for significant regulatory actions, which is what I just said. So here's the connection to 2025. The Supreme Court's decision in West Virginia versus the EPA aligns with the goals of Project 2025 by reducing the power of federal regulatory agencies and emphasizing the need for clear congressional authorization for majority policy decisions. This fits with the broader conservative agenda of limiting federal oversight and promoting state and individual rights. And it says state and individual rights, but it's not state and individual rights, it's business rights. It's putting business, money, and capitalism over people. By curtailing the Chevron deference, the ruling advances the conservative objective of restraining the administrative state and returning more policymaking power to Congress. So we know that Congress doesn't work like that. It takes forever to get anything past Congress, and they're not just sitting in there just passing law after law after law after law. This can lead to a reduction in the scope of effectiveness of regulations designed to protect public health, safety, and the environment. This decision is a significant step in the conservative legal movement, efforts to reshape the relationship between the federal government and its regulatory agencies, potentially making it more difficult to address complex, urgent issues through administrative action. The approach aligns with the strategic aims of Project 2025, which seeks to reshape American governance by limiting federal regulatory authority and promoting more decentralized and deregulatory framework. Why? What does this mean? What does it mean? It means that less government. So that's what you hear all the time, right? Less government interference. Well, this is what less government interference looks like. It looks like your grandma and your mom getting cancer from the polluted area around them. That's what it looks like. Because you can't live in this world where people will do what they're supposed to do. We don't live in that world. That world does not exist. People are going to do what's cheapest and what makes them the most money. Now, not people, businesses. Business, which are comprised of people, but we cannot look as businesses as people. And that's what this wants to do. It wants to look at as a business, as a person that has rights to pollute your water because you don't make as much money as the business, because you don't matter. That is what less government looks like. Religious liberty. Recent rulings have expanded the scope of religious liberty, allowing businesses and individuals to refuse services based on religious beliefs. This can undermine the anti-discrimination protections and lead to increased marginalization of LGBTQ plus individuals and other minority groups. The recent Supreme Court case related to religious liberty that garnered significant attention is 303 Creative LLC versus Elanus. This case involved a clash between an anti-discrimination laws and religious freedom claims. So Lori Smith, the owner of 303 Creative LLC, a graphic design company, challenged Colorado's Anti-Discrimination Act, CADA, which prohibits businesses from discriminating against LGBTQ plus individuals. Smith wanted to expand her business to offer wedding website design services, but opposed same-sex marriage on religious grounds. She sought a preemptive ruling that she could refuse to create wedding websites for same-sex couples without violating CADA. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of the 303 Creative LLC, stating that the First Amendment protects Lori Smith's right to refuse to create wedding websites for same-sex couples based on her religious beliefs. The court held that applying CADA to compel Smith to create expressive content that conflicts with her religious convictions would violate her free speech rights. Implications. Before I get to the implications, this says nothing of the LGBTQ plus rights. These people have rights too. Your rights, no matter what you believe, are no more valuable than any other's rights. That's the whole thing about equality. Everybody has equal rights. So sometimes you just don't get what you want, and you have to live in a place where you just have to be kind to everybody no matter what. And if you can't be kind to everybody no matter what, you don't need to have a business. You need to close your business, and you need to be mean to yourself and not everybody else. You can't go around treating people like shit just because you don't believe in what they're doing. This is a fundamental thing about how our country is supposed to be. It's supposed to be equal. We're supposed to have equality. And if we can't have equality, this is not equal. Telling her that she gets to discriminate against somebody else because it's just saying that one is more valuable than the other, and it's not. It's not more valuable than the other. And I will do everything I can to try to illustrate that point to you. I will spend hours and hours and hours trying to make you understand that it is better to be kind. It is better to be kind. This decision reinforces the protection of religious freedom and free speech rights, allowing individuals and businesses to refuse services that conflict with their religious beliefs. The ruling raises concerns about the potential for increased discrimination against LGBTQ+ individuals and other minority groups under the guise of religious liberty. Here's the connection to 2025. The Supreme Court's decision in 303 Creative LLC versus Elanis aligns with the goals of Project 2025 by promoting a conservative interpretation of religious liberty and limiting the scope of anti-discrimination laws. This decision fits with the broader conservative agenda of emphasizing individual and religious rights over government regulations aimed at ensuring equality and non-discrimination by expanding the scope of religious liberty protections. The ruling supports the conservative objective of reducing government interference in personal and business decisions. However, this can also lead to a greater societal division and marginalized minority groups, undermining the efforts to create more inclusive and equitable society. So here, the government doesn't mind getting involved when it comes to religious freedoms and the right of religious freedoms to discriminate against other people. Doesn't mind getting involved. But when it comes to a business polluting your backyard, nah, it's cool. Let the business do what it wants. This decision is a significant step in the conservative legal movement's efforts to prioritize religious freedom and free speech, potentially at the expense of anti-discrimination protections. This approach aligns with the strategic aims of Project 2025, which seeks to reshape American governance by emphasizing individual liberties and limiting the reach of government regulations designed to protect marginalized communities. Okay. This has been a whole lot. So I'm just going to go through here real quick and explain some of the things that Project 2025 has planned to do. And next week I will go over these in more detail. So let's see here. We have undermining voting rights, eroding affirmative action, restricting abortion rights, limiting the Chevron deference, expanding religious liberty. And that was just the ones that we went over today. Social division and discrimination. There's so much more that I don't have all in front of me, but this is a separation of church and state that we have here for this last point. Separation of church and state. And we have a situation where we're reversing that. We're trying to say that Christianity is the national religion. So the reason that this country was started in the first place is because people wanted to have the right to worship whatever God they wanted, however they wanted, without somebody telling them how to do it. And now we have a small group of people that do not represent the beliefs of our country as a whole, trying to force everybody to be a Christian nation to the point where we discriminate against people. And we're unkind. So I'm just going to leave it there for today. Remember, just be kind. Be kind. That's really all I have to say, is be kind. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. Get on Google, research 2025, Project 2025, research the Heritage Foundation. Get yourself familiar. It is real. The president of the Heritage Foundation has been on TV all week this week, all week last week, talking about Project 2025. It's a real thing. It is happening, and it's already being put into place. And it's going to be even worse if Trump gets into office. So register to vote and vote. I'm your host, Tommy J. Houseman. Thank you for joining me for another episode of What's Going On in the World. Bye-bye.